home.
The A-bomb
was dropped in Hiroshima and also one in Nagasaki. I think the atomic bombs were dropped not just on our cities, but on the whole human beings. I have many things to talk about my experience of the A-bomb. But if the next one, the third A-bomb, is to be dropped, then the Earth will be annihilated. I want people to understand this is going to be, you know, the Earth is going to be annihilated. So whenever I talk, I want them to understand this. The Peace Memorial Park, until the A-bomb, people lived here. Everything was destroyed. Everyone died around this area.
Peace
Memorial Park is a beautiful park today with so many trees. Later they planted small trees, and after decades these trees became bigger and now a very beautiful park today.
That's Koji Hosokawa speaking in front of the Peace Museum in Hiroshima. As he looked down at the ground, he said, people lived here. People lived here. To see our whole interview with him when we were in Hiroshima, go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio is volunteer-powered. We have a dynamic community of 500 volunteers doing everything from front desk work, janitorial work, community reporting, hosting information booths, clerical support, news writing, documentary making, operating soundboards, engineering and computer help, website upkeep, and many, many other things. To become a KBOO volunteer, come to our next monthly volunteer orientation on Tuesday, August 7th at 6 p.m. at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/volunteer.
Hi, this is John Schuck. On the next Beloved Community, I welcome Cynthia McKinney, former Congresswoman and candidate for president. She speaks candidly about 9/11, the deep state, COINTELPRO, the Russians, the media, Israel, and more. Beloved Community, August 10th, Friday, 9 a.m. on KBOO.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Oregon Symphony, located at 909 Southwest Washington Street in downtown Portland, presenting Gary Trudeau, political cartoonist and creator of Doonesbury Comics, sharing from his latest book, Sad, Doonesbury in the Time of Trump, Tuesday, October 16th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and more information available by phone at 503-228-1353 or online at orsymphony.org.
This is Jeremy Scahill, author of Dirty Wars, and you're listening to KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
Good day. This is More Talk Radio, and you are listening to KBOO 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, Philomath, and be the World Wide Web. It is KBOO.FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and you are listening to More Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us today. Today, if you're listening to us live, is August 6, 2018. And there are several things on our agenda today, so I hope that you will join us by calling and sharing your thoughts and your wisdom with us. Our phone numbers here are 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And today is August 6, 2018. And let me review with you some things that have been going on in recent days. If you listen to KBOO this past week on Friday, you heard an interview about the anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima. I want to remind you that there will be a memorial remembrance that takes place this evening at the Japanese American Historical Plaza in Portland, Northwest NATO Parkway and Coots Street, remembering the victims of the August 6th and August 9th, 1945 atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. To learn more about the impacts of nuclear weapons testing in Pacific Islands and how to take action for nuclear disarmament. This is an opportunity for you and your family and children to hear live performances, including taiko drumming ensemble unit Suku, as well as opportunities for you to take action. The event will be followed by Children Remember, Nuclear Stories Through Memories, Relationships, and Art exhibits organized by artist Yukio Kawano across the street at the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, and that is at 75 Northwest Coots Street, beginning at 7:15 p.m. It is an important event to remember and to take action. So that takes place today beginning at 6 p.m. at the Japanese American Historical Plaza here in Portland, Oregon, sponsored by the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. And also, if you were anywhere around Oregon this week, this weekend, you may have either participated or heard about the actions, the rallies, the protests that took place on Saturday. And you might have been witness to the police response to the actions in downtown Portland. If you were a witness, I would be interested in hearing your thoughts of the police response and whether or not, just your observations about the event itself, and particularly about the police response. And I'll let you talk and share your thoughts about that. I'm interested in hearing people who were there to share their insights about what happened this weekend in Portland. And the larger picture for us is to talk about how to confront fascists in our neighborhoods, in our towns, and what's the best, I don't know the best way, but what are ways in which to project another view of our society and how to confront those who are destructive, who would carry out fascist organizing, and how do we respond to that? Certainly something that is not new, that has continued on, and as I suspect will continue on in days ahead. Certainly the grounds are fertile for that type of organizing, and we need to know what are the ways in which people are confronting those evils. I'm not embarrassed to call it that. So then, let us enter into a conversation about organizing against fascist organizing, and also to hear your response and some of your reflection on this, the 73rd anniversary of the only time that nuclear weapons have been used in war, the first time that have been used by the United States against Japan, with that bombing 73 years ago. Since that time, we can continue to live under a nuclear cloud. And how do we respond? How do we live? Recently, in an attempt, I think, of personal one-man diplomacy, the President of the United States had a meeting conversation with the leader of North Korea, warning that nation to disarm, all at the same time realizing that that the United States and the president's new best friend, the president of Russia, hold weapons, and indeed the possibility of destruction is at on their hands. How do we respond, and are you taking action to create a world in where weapons of mass destructions will begin to disappear in our society? So give us a call if you have thoughts on that, and let me remind you that you may call us at 503-231-8187. Among the topics we are talking this morning is the 73rd anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki this week, and the actions that are remembrances that are taking place here in Portland and indeed throughout the world on that, and some reflection about the actions of what took place in the Portland this past weekend. It's obviously made national news, and for the fascists, I guess they succeeded in that, in getting that type of recognition as they continue to their actions. Were you in Portland? Were you witness to the events there? It would be great if you are able to call and share your thoughts. Did the police overreact in terms of what they did to those who were there to bear witness against fascists? And what were your thoughts on the events of this past weekend? And related to that, what are ways to confront fascists is something that will continue today and tomorrow and the days ahead. One more reminder, give us a call, 503-231-8187, and we'll go to a caller. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Yes.
So I was down at the event this weekend, and I think that's what you wanted to start out the topic.
Yes, please.
So here would be an observation, and it would be a word to the wise for everybody that's thinking about getting involved in the protest. It's really hard to encourage people because of the responses that's now manifesting. The police this weekend, as they set up those barricades, didn't learn anything from the last event, because the water that keeps being thrown, if the police would do their job, which is just do a fundamental sweep, they would find, like I did this weekend when I went down prior to the event while they were setting up, 5 cases of water that were strategically placed behind trees on the Patriot Prayer site. So what would those cases of water be used for? Deploying those objects to the other side, which would have been the Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I went around and deployed my tactics of emptying those water bottles and leaving the empty bottles where they were behind the tree. And interestingly enough, there wasn't many water bottles thrown around the waterfront park area. So that would be my suggestion to Portland police.
So let me...
They want to take control instead of letting these two groups fight each other, where one group is now declaring they will be coming to their events with arms. Seems kind of interesting how the police would be supporting a group declaring they're going to bring arms, guns, and weapons to an event, and then the Antifa keeps getting blamed for causing chaos, but yet they aren't coming with weapons, nor are they announcing it, like guns.
So that
would be my observation.
So let me share with
the city of Portland that I love so much.
Yeah.
Take deep breaths, watch what the police are doing. They're actually engaged in corralling the two groups down streets so that they can contain them, and then they deploy numerous types of non-lethal weapons like the beanbag rounds, the tear gas pellets, and now they've got this new deployed ammunition that comes with a black shell and it's a foam rubber bullet. So I get why people don't want to go down there, but it could all be prevented with basic, simple surveillance and techniques that the police should do beforehand.
So let me ask you, Steve.
Thank you, and I hope you have a good day.
Okay, don't go off yet.
And thank you so much for your program.
Hey, Steve, are you still there? If not, I would wanted to ask you some questions about your initial statements about going to there and doing some surveillance. I wanted to know hear more about that in terms of why and how you did that, and whether or not police were there or whether they participated.
How and why I did it.
No, I bet. Go ahead. No, I wanted to. You said you went and did that, and I wanted to know where was the police. I mean, that's the type of job that they should do. Go ahead.
Correct, and that's why I called your show today, because nobody really knew that this was going on, because it's something that I'm a military individual myself, so I wanted to go down early to see what the police were doing to set up for the event. So when I noticed these things, like I live in the close area, so I rode the bike trail down, and I come from the east side to the west side, and I came across the bridge and I rode the back end. When I did that, like I said, I found these water bottles, and I seen the police in their little groups doing their little briefings setting up prior to the event. So I rode over with one of the packages of 32-ounce case of water with them empty, and I told them, I just found 5 of these cases of water throughout the park that you guys just barricaded on the Patriot Prayer side. Here's the evidence. I would suggest you guys do a sweep prior to, because these are the objects that keeps getting thrown that starts the chaos, and then you guys deploy tear gas and rubber bullets and all these other things. I says, here it is right here before the event. It's on this side. You guys could have done a sweep. Why aren't you doing these things? And then I left. And then again, it happened when they started attacking the people because they got into a conflict a couple blocks away. I rode my bike over there. Again, there was a torn up 32-pack case of water bottles sitting in the middle of the street while the police are shooting tear gas and screaming at everybody, and they're sitting there full. And I ran over there and I'm telling the police, look, you've got this bottle case of water right here. These people are throwing these at each other and you're screaming and yelling at everybody. Why aren't a couple of you officers doing like I'm doing, walking over here, picking these water bottles up that can be deployed at each other and emptying them? Then when they run over here to throw them, they're empty and they're not going to hurt anybody. One guy should be doing that like I'm doing that. Then I picked up a stick that was on the Patriot prayer side with one of their flags with a zip tie. It was strategically placed laying up against a building. All these things are laying around strategically, and these are police-trained, paramilitary group-trained people, and they're leaving these plain-sight weapons laying all over the street, and they're doing nothing about it until the people pick them up and use them. Yeah. So that's my point. The police are not doing their job. They're corralling people, which is two groups that are opposing each other, down streets, and they're cornering them, and then they're shooting them with pepper spray and all these other things, and then that's what's causing the chaos and the injury.
Hey, thank you so much for your thoughts and for sharing them with us this morning. Hope people take your advice and your suggestions. Thanks a lot, Steve.
You're welcome, man. You guys keep doing what you're doing, man, because there's a few of us out there that don't want to be known that we're out there, because we are, and we're watching your backs, man.
Okay. Thank you for calling. And for those others who are listening, we want to invite you to give us a call at 503-231-8187. If you were in downtown Portland as an observer or participant, give us a call. What were your reflections on the police response to the rally, and what was your response in terms of police action? And if you were there in support of justice and social justice, and I want your perspective. And if you were there as a peacekeeper, let me know what you thought about the events and the rally. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and certainly as what Steve just mentioned in terms of this fascist organization and their organizing, that this is certainly that will continue. Certainly we heard something. There was a rally in Berkeley on Sunday. There has been talk about a response, violent response against the Black Lives Matter organizing on August 12th, and there's also potential actions that will take place in Seattle on August 18th. So this concern about the fascists continues, and as much as we would like to close our eyes and pretend it will go away, it will not. Thus is the society we are living in. If you were a witness of the events this weekend in Portland, give us a call and share your thoughts. Also, we mentioned earlier the 73rd anniversary of the bombing in Hiroshima. Give us a call and some of your thoughts about that and nuclear disarmament. 503-231-8187. You're listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO. And let's go to our next caller. Maury, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I was down there this weekend as well, and it seemed that the police presence was more focused on the our side, the counter-protest Antifa side, rather than the Patriot Prayer side, which those folks, to me, would appear to be more of a threat in my mind. And when I was down there, I took my signs about reunifying families that are separated. I took my signs about the number of children that are still have not been reunited with their parents, and my point being was that this is why we fight fascists. This is why we fight the administration.
Yes.
And I tried to explain it to other side people if I could. Well, I yelled across the street, but, you know, we would get in arguments, and I was explaining to them, how can you support this policy, this administration, this ideology, where you are going after people of color and others, and it's completely wrong, and you are responsible. If you are supporting this administration and their policies, then you're responsible for these children that have not been reunited with their parents and who are also being abused and neglected. And I call the facilities in Texas, and when I get a hold of people, they laugh at me, or they make statements like, well, they're illegal, why are they here? Or, for example, their parents brought them here, their parents are the criminals. I've talked to the police, local police about it. They say, the one I talked to, he said, well, what did they do? They broke a law. And I said, no, they did not break a law. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. But this is the point of these counter protests. We have to be on the street. And, you know, I see people posting, you know, oh, just don't show up and there won't be attention. But sure, that's okay if you're privileged, white, male, possibly white, female. Everybody else? No, we can't just let these people roam our streets. We cannot, because it's not safe.
Yeah.
And if you watch their Twitter feeds, you know what their goals are, and the people who show up in support of them, we know what their goals are.
Exactly.
You know? And so I told them, they've been defeated. They're defeated. They've been defeated. They're outnumbered, and their days are you know, they're defeated. And we will stay and stand until not one of them ever again walks the street, shows up. So anyway, and as far as the nuclear disarmament, yes, we have to keep working, fighting, you know, with all our might against that as well. So that's my only comment.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for your witness and for your presence.
Thank you,
Sandy. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. If you were a witness to the activities in downtown Portland this past weekend on Saturday, give us a call and share your thoughts. We also mentioned that today is the 73rd anniversary of the first time a nation dropped a nuclear bomb on another nation. When are we going to change? Let's go to our next caller. Mike, good morning. What are your thoughts today?
Good morning, KBOO. And just want to remind everybody, if they didn't catch it, that much of the individuals, whether from out of state or from Clark County up near the Couve, they were... You know, I mean, it's Gibson's from the Camas area, Fairway Village, there's a KKK guy there, and there's a majority of the KKK and the Nazi movements up here in Carr County. I don't know how many or what the quantity or number is,
yes,
but it's them, families, and, you know, with the Trumpism, they're got their chest stuck out driving around in their black, jacked-up crap kicker trucks and boy toys, and never see women in the trucks with them usually, but it's kind of pathetic. But they're terrorists, they're devices of terror, and prove it. You know, you got pictures of the pickup trucks of these folks. Many of them have steel frame bar frames around the front, and even some on the sides and back with lights and stuff, and they're not the standard just bumper that you might see on a truck over the years. These are meant to be
weapons.
Attack vehicles, okay, and weapons, mm-hmm, and they're terrorist terror weapons. And the feds know this. Are the locals sophisticated enough authorities to know that? I think they are. But I don't think they're keeping tight enough control on them. I think they're letting their free speech, blah, blah, blah. But there's ways around it. Columbia newspaper did show the address of the lot where these guys were planning on, down by the Columbia River, mm-hmm, Columbia Boulevard, of meeting and then getting into little shuttle vans and things and heading down there. So I just made the loop down there, took pictures of license plates, and sure enough, they weren't able to do that because even in the paper, the owner of the property said, no, it's not warranted. We don't want them there. You know, they'll be towed. And they ended up at Marine Park in the parking lot of this beautiful park down by the river and Water Resources Center, and taking up that parking place and parking space and generally blocking that whole parking area. And the police presence was just a car driving by once in a while. I was there long enough observing and witnessing to know that they were on it, but that's all they were doing. And now what discussions and talks they'd had with them before that, you know, we don't hear about that stuff.
Right.
So I took pictures of license plates, and I'll be sending them, like I always do for the last year and a half, to the Southern Poverty Law Center, Anti-Defamation League, and any authorities that might want them. And I hope everyone does that, citizen reporters and witness. Take pictures of all these trucks with the flags sticking up. And that's another thing. They don't have to fly the Confederate flag anymore. They've co-opted the U.S. flag, and it's sick. And they're terrorists. And I'm, you know, a poor working guy with a small business, but happy and living life. But I've got time and energy to do this and make this call and listen to KBOO. Not everybody has that. And
Thank you. I mean, for doing this and I think because of people like you who are ordinary people who say there's something I can do, that you do something. So that's
bear witness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bearing witness. That's encouraging others who say I who am I? But we all can make a difference. So thank you.
I hope everybody gets their cameras out, keeps them handy with them, cars and so forth, and does something with them. You know, at the very least, you could show people, and you don't want to get crazy and cause trouble, but because you know, if these people want to fight the Civil War again, you know, they'll get it. But let it be on our terms. All right, thank you.
Hey, thank you so much. And certainly we all can be a witness by witnessing, by shining light to in those cracks where the light does not shine. You are listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO. Give us a call, 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, John.
Okay, I wasn't down there, but I've listened to enough documentaries of the early 20th century. It seems like there was, when the fascists and the socialists and the communists were street fighting in the cities of Germany, the police always took the fascist, what do you call it, side. They would stand by and just let, you know, and they would also attack some of the opposing people, the fascists. Okay, well, when I've been hearing some of this situation of what was going on downtown, wow, you know, it seems, wow, is this 2018 or 1931? I don't know. Another point I wanted to make, I just heard this, but this was a couple weeks ago, but it was a New York Times article, this person of, reported. It's a guy named Robert Cohen, and that's not the same Cohen that's Trump's lawyer, but another one. Now, he's not even a lawyer, he's a columnist. And he got from some sources that Trump went into a real tirade in one of his meetings, and this is what the guy claimed. I don't know what the source, I don't know, that if the Democrats take the House and the Senate, he's going to have his base go out and riot, so it will give him justification for martial law. I kid you not. But, you know, this is just, it was like in the mid-July column, New York Times, Robert Cohen.
Roger Cohen, maybe?
Beg your pardon?
Roger Cohen or Robert Cohen?
Well, it's Cohen, New York Times.
Okay.
Editor, or a columnist.
I see opinion writer,
yeah,
Roger
of course,
Cohen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, I did look it up. And Well, yeah, okay. But anyway, that's all I have to say.
Hey, thank you so much. And so thank you for that and for that observation. So our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We're hearing some responses from people, observers, participants in the, I don't like to say counter-protest, but from those who participated for to witness, as the last caller saying, last weekend, this past Saturday, downtown Portland. What are your thoughts? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. In particular, in terms of, as the last caller reflected in terms of police response, what were your thoughts of the police response? Did they, again, a word I don't like to use, point their weapons to the wrong side, or were they protecting the fascists, or were they protecting the other citizens who came to be a witness against them? Do they have that option to make a choice? You know, there's that whole discussion. I just read a few minutes ago this whole blurb that the mayor of Portland said about, you know, we support free speech, and so everyone has the right to do to say what they want. What is that line in terms of free speech and also ensuring the safety of all citizens? One caller mentioned earlier, in terms of responding to the fascists, what's the right way? And she mentioned how oftentimes people say, well, if you don't show up, they will have no party, no news, no cameras. But she also observed that that isn't an option for some people in some communities who are under threat by their mere existence. So for those with privilege who have the option not to show up, what are the duties of those with privilege in terms of bearing witness? We also heard from a couple of citizen activists, if that's a good term to use, who went there down and observed what was happening, and those who just took pictures to make sure that they were seen and things like that. What are the things that you're doing? What were some of your thoughts? Let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Edie.
Good morning. I would like to invite people to go to the Rosehip Medical Collective website and make direct cash donations or email to make arrangements to deliver medical supplies. I would like to invite people to be engaged with Rose City Cop Watch. I would invite people to email to our mayor, who's supposed to be the police commissioner, and our city council members, and to show up Wednesdays at the 9:30 a.m. council meetings with and sign up to testify for your 1 minute on the topics that they limit you to.
Oh.
And if not that, bring your 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that says your opinion about police fascist inappropriate conduct, very unequal enforcement, very dangerous, not enforcing laws, having endangering citizens by how they set up the fences, how they made announcements, how they interfere with traffic, how they allowed the fascists to come in to different groups that were standing for protecting and serving Portland from fascists, and allowing fascists to knock over people, crowd people, provoke people, spray them with pepper spray, hit them with poles, punch them, kick them, eight or so people, a fascist, you know, knocking to the ground and punching, kicking, hitting, beating people who are not fascists, and having the police protect that. When police were shown pictures or told about assault and battery and hate crimes by the fascists, they refused to address the pointed out criminals and instead terrorize and harass and provoke the non-fascists.
And right. I'm not sure that everyone heard when you began your statement, when you suggested people might want to go to a website, a clinic. I'm not sure at the beginning of your statement.
Yes, I'm a street medic, and I was in that capacity. I recommend that people go to the website called Rose Hip Medical Collective.
Okay.
They provide medic training, medic supplies, and medic coordinating of some medics, and quality, because there's different folks claiming to be medics of different quality or lack of quality.
Right.
So. I suggest you give money and email how you would deliver the supplies that they request, and that you offer a place and funding for training at your school, workplace, church, or wherever. And I recommend that people email all the city council members and the mayor and demand accountability, including firings.
And you you also mentioned showing up on Wednesday at city council meeting to have a 1-minute testimony. Is that correct?
Well, every Wednesday, City of Portland has, unless they claim there's nothing on the agenda.
All right.
and we want things on the agenda. We have to communicate to the mayor's office or the most supportive or open, receptive city council member for that topic. And then that will go on the agenda Friday afternoon. So Friday afternoon, you look on the City of Portland City Council agenda, and then you can talk to Carla or you can show up early and sign up. You're only allowed 1 minute to testify, and only on the topics that Ted Wheeler allows. So you Friday afternoon find out what those topics are and then how what you want to say fits into that 1 minute.
So yeah, let me I was going to ask you, because if the mayor say, well, we're only going to talk about yellow I don't know, kente cloth, I mean, can't you just manipulate your statement? Will he cut you off if you veered off topic? How does that go?
They're trying to keep it to their topic, but I'm sure the listeners are intelligent.
Okay.
And then even if you're not going to find a way to get that in topic, I'm just showing up in solidarity with Care Not Cops, or, you know, shirts on, or holding up 8.5, no bigger than 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper that say your message.
Yes.
And you're not supposed to clap or make noise, but you can have thumbs up or twinkle fingers up, thumbs down. You can wave your little sign and really make your point about how wrong it was. In the city of Boston last year, after the Charlottesville terrorism invasion, the mayor told everyone, we're going to show up, we're going to, you know, we're going to allow the terrorists to have their little free speech area, but it's going to be in a very small fenced-in area, and having bollards and roadblocks so there can't be truck ramming, And the mayor showed up, and the mayor had anyone else show up. You know, where was our mayor? Where was our city council member? Why weren't they out there in front saying, we, like the king of Denmark wearing a yellow Star of David, saying, we are in solidarity against the fascists, and it's not going to be in our town.
Mm-hmm.
And then, instead of allowing the police to have their co-fascists go everywhere they want while attacking and criminalizing the rest of us who are doing our job to protect and serve our community, we need to have the fascists, if they're going to be allowed, in a teeny-weeny controlled space,
mm-hmm.
and not allow the entire Tom McCall waterfront and blocks and blocks and blocks of our city allowed to run around terrorizing people.
Yes.
And if they are going to have a permit, and I have questions about the government permitting or not permitting anyone to talk, but if they are going to have a permit, they need to have the insurance. They need to prepay the insurance and have the porta potties and have ways to hold them accountable. And instead, it was just exactly as they advertised they were going to do, coming to town and injuring and terrorizing our people and breaking our laws.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for your thoughts and for the knowledge you share and the opportunities for people, things for people to do. Very great. Thank you so much, Edie.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. Coming up this morning at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour. Details what it will really take to deal with climate change, union organizing of restaurant workers, and how capitalism enslaves us, and more. And at 10 is Locus Focus. Barbara Bernstein looks at the impact and lessons learned from last season's mega fire in the Columbia Ridge Gorge. Very appropriate. At 11, Making Contacts, explore nonprofit groups who are helping Americans that find themselves parenting from prison. And at 11:30, Madness Radio's talk to vegan chef Sabrina Louise about transitioning away from eating animal products while avoiding common mistakes that can undermine health. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. And if you'd like to become a member, hey, go to kboo.fm and click on donate. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott. We're speaking on this, the 73rd anniversary of Hiroshima, about violence in our neighborhoods and what we can do. Let's go to our next caller. Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Cecil.
How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I just wanted to jump in on this conversation about Saturday.
Yes.
I actually was one of the folks that helped organize the City Hall rally.
Uh-huh.
And one of our goals was to, much like last year on June 4th, when there were separate rallies,
yes.
You know, there was like the one rally at City Hall, then there was the Antifa Black Bloc rally in Chapman, and then mm-hmm. a labor rally elsewhere. We wanted to do something similar this year and have a rally at City Hall that was endorsed by unions and faith groups, and that people would be welcome to. People that aren't, you know, comfortable being on the front lines against the fascists.
Right.
But we wanted to do it in a way that really brought everyone together. And despite differences in tactics,
yes.
I think we were successful. We had the rally at City Hall and then marched over to the waterfront to join in with those folks who were on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this. Unlike last year, we were able to do this, bring everyone together without throwing each other under the bus, without saying good protester here, bad protester there, and letting the fascists and, as usual, the police really divide us.
Oh.
And I think it was really important that people did come together. And like I said, despite differences in approaches and tactics.
Right.
People all worked together and said, we need to unite, and no matter how you fight against these fascists, we're all on the same team, and we need to stop them. We need to keep them out of our communities. I think, as you were saying earlier, they're targeting communities. We can't just ignoring them. Just is not an option. They're gonna, we ignore them. They're gonna grow, and they're gonna keep attacking people. After the rally, they went around town and were attacking people discriminately. We need to stand up and fight back. And I think Saturday was hopefully the beginning of something great, where people really can work together despite
different tactics. And you said earlier, you're not throwing one another on figuratively speaking, the bus. Not dividing. Great.
Right.
Well, thank you for...
I think it's important to just one more thing about the police. I mean, we need to expect... They've done it every time, and they're going to keep doing it. They did it on June 30th. They attacked the anti-fascist protesters on Saturday. They did it again, totally unprovoked. I'm sure people have seen the picture of the projectile being shot into the person's helmet.
Yeah.
He probably would have been killed if he wasn't wearing that helmet. Yeah. The police are always taking the wrong side here, and it's time I don't know what to do. I think the police should be abolished, but at least people need to try to hold them accountable.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for helping organizing the rally today on Saturday and for your work. Continue.
Yeah, we'll keep it up.
Very good. Thank you much. Bye-bye. And this is More Talk Radio. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We are hearing reflections from those who participated in the anti-fascist rallying this past weekend in Portland, Oregon, realizing that these things are happening all over. And as Joseph just mentioned, the need for unity despite differences in political philosophy, and uniting a united front against fascism. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And if you like to call, we have some lines open as well as some time. This is More Talk Radio. This is also the 73rd anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima, and we want to remind everyone in Portland to come down to the to witness and to remember the 73rd anniversary Japanese historical park in downtown Portland this evening at 6 p.m. For a time of remembrance, sponsored by the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibilities. Following that, at 7:15 at the Children's Museum, I believe, there will be an exhibit. So this is an event that you should be a witness to, and also your family, this evening at 6 o'clock and at 7:15. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and I'm interested in hearing people's responses who either were downtown last weekend or witnessed it, and your thoughts about police, about the fascists, and give us your wisdom about where do we go from here. A couple of people mentioned that we cannot be silent, but we need to either unite or find ways to take actions together. Okay, we have a caller online, so we'll go to Gigi. Thank you for holding and for calling, Gigi.
Absolutely. Good morning. I was there on Saturday, and yes. I used my binoculars to watch the Nazi rally.
Yes.
And one of the things that was very clear and very apparent through my high-definition binoculars was the camaraderie and the coziness between the PPB and the Nazis.
Yes.
I witnessed at several different times, and lots of and several different officers standing very close to, even leaning into, things that were being said to them by the Nazis, by the Patriot Prayer attendees. It was very, very disturbing, and not surprising, but
yeah,
all the same, disturbing to see so latently and clearly their communion with these fascist groups.
So let me just respond. Some might say, well, this is their crowd control and they're just keeping tabs on the fascists, but you're saying it was more than just that.
Oh yeah, I mean, they don't try to get close or lean in to anti-fascists.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not standing close to them. Not that we want to, but it just seems the energy that they're directing towards us is very different from the energy that they're directing towards them.
And they were protecting, I'm asking you, they were protecting the fascists against the other people, is that it? So their weapons were pointed towards not towards the fascists, but to the other folks, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, they are, I mean, in typical fashion, they are militarized against anti-fascists and appear to be protecting, if not escorting, the Prayer Patriot, Proud Boy, white supremacist Nazi groups.
Right.
Definitely seem to be very chummy with them even.
Wow. Hey, thank you so much for being witness, and I'm going to try to get one more caller in. Thank you so much. Okay, let's go to Laura. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick correction.
Yes.
For the event tonight at the Hiroshima Nagasaki Memorial event, after the event at the Japanese American Historical Plaza at Waterfront Park, the Children Remember exhibit will be at OCOM, Oregon College of Oriental Medicine.
Okay.
And folks will be guided there. They'll just walk there across and up the street a bit. So that's where that event will take place. I just wanted to make sure people knew that.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that correction. And again, that event begins at 6 o'clock at the park, and at 7:15...
Right.
Children Remembers.
Okay. At OCOM, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Laura.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you for your work. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO. On today, August 6th, the 73rd anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima, we have a lot of work to do. Whether it's resisting fascists or remembering and disarming our nuclear weapons, there's a lot of work to do. So, take a deep breath, remember to do the good work, and take care of yourself. I'm Cecil Prescott. Stay tuned for more exciting programming on KBOO.
Hi, this is Bob Madoff. Did you know that almost a quarter of Oregon's children are food insecure? That means they don't have access to affordable, nutritious food. Join me for episode 2 of Local Folks Podcast and experience Distribution Day, the time when hard-working gleaners, compassionate, low-income local folks, share the food they have gathered with households in need. You can find Local Folks at KBOO.FM, go to audio, list of programs, podcasts, web only, and click on Local Folks.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series called KBOO at the Clinton, hosted by the Clinton Street Theater. This month, we'll screen the film Undocumented on Thursday, August 9th at 7 p.m. Undocumented is a documentary about a 13-year-old who travels from Colombia to join his parents in America and his life becoming a surgeon. It is a story of struggle, loss, danger, courage, and love. Again, that's a film screening of Undocumented, Thursday, August 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Portland Underground Graduate School, a local independent learning community offering courses and workshops for continuing lifelong learning. Scholarships and other tuition opportunities are available. Course options and more information online at pugspdx.com. That's pugspdx.com.
I wish I was a mole.